Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and we have a great show for you today. We are talking to the Norman family, and they have recently been awarded Family of the Year in USTA's Midwest section. And we're going to talk to them about their involvement in tennis and how they have gotten their children now involved and how they came to actually win this award. And it's, I think, going to be a really fun show. It is a recorded show, so unfortunately we will not be taking callers today, but I hope you enjoy hearing from Chuck, Mary, Chaz, and Irene and their involvement in our great sport of tennis. So let me just tell you a little bit about them. The father, Chuck, was a highly ranked junior player in the 1970s. He went to Indiana State University on a full tennis scholarship, and he continues to compete as a 4.5 player at the age of 53, and that's despite having knee replacement surgery. He plays in USTA and interclub leagues and is passionate about the history of tennis, collecting old rackets and books about the sport, and all matters tennis. He's now serving as a board member for the Northeast Ohio Tennis Association, and he assists with coaching juniors at their local athletic club. When Chuck met his wife, Mary, she was not a tennis player, but he kind of got her to get the tennis bug, and Mary started playing in a USTA 1-2-3 for adults program and got hooked on the sport, too. And now she's captaining various women's teams. She works part-time at their local club. She's volunteered with their junior team tennis program. And she's even trying to get involved with their Midwest section on a committee. So now they have two kids, and their daughter Irene, who's 13, and their son Chaz, who's 12, are both really actively involved in USTA junior tennis. They play tournaments, they participate in junior team tennis, and this has now become a true family affair for the Norman family. So without further ado, let me bring them on the line. And Normans, are you guys here?
Hello, yes we are.
Awesome. Hi, Lisa. Hi, thank y'all so much for being on the show. And I want to congratulate you on this honor of being chosen as Family of the Year in the Midwest section. That's pretty cool.
Lisa, thank you very much. We've been very blessed by this honor and look forward to talking to you tonight about our family, what tennis does for us, if you will, and how we try to give back to the sport and maybe give back to our community as well.
That's fantastic. And your kids are with you too, right?
Yes. Yes, we're here. Hello.
Hi. I'm really looking forward to talking to y'all too. So thank you for being here. Let's start out by, Chuck, maybe you can talk a little bit about how you got started in tennis and how you kind of roped in Mary and the kids into this great sport.
Sure, no, that's great. Thanks. So my tennis history is I started out as a relatively young junior back in the 70s. My father had played the game back in the 40s and 50s, and as I grew up, he got me involved on a community or public tennis court. We took some lessons. I started to play with him, hit some balls, and then as things went along, got involved with a couple coaches, found it just to be a fantastic junior sport that allowed me, I grew up in the Midwest in Illinois, So got to travel around Illinois and eventually to many other states and see a lot of different, not only tournaments and players, but also a lot of other families and junior players. So it's been a fantastic sport for me growing up.
And so when you met Mary, she was not a tennis player. So, Mary, talk to us a little bit about what made you catch the bug.
I will tell you, Lisa, that I spent quite a few years watching Chuck play tennis, watching him compete in tournaments as an adult, and I enjoyed it, but never really thought that it was something I could do. I was not really all that athletic as a younger adult, and we moved to Ohio for Chuck's job, and I did not know a single person in the state of Ohio. And Chuck said when he came back from the club, you know, they have a adult program for tennis. You might meet some people. So really my impetus for getting into it was more social, and it has gone far beyond that. But one of the things I love about it is that it is social. The ladies that I play tennis with have gotten to be good friends. You know, the exercise is a plus. But I just feel like I've met so many nice people playing tennis.
That's fantastic. It is. I mean, it's a great social sport. And where I live in Atlanta, I've said this before on the show, when somebody new moves in the neighborhood, you know, everybody goes and knocks on their door to find out what level player they are. It's not, you know, how old are your kids or what do you do for a living? It's what level tennis do you play? So I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, and Lisa, I'll just jump in there, too, from a social aspect. When I was, part of the workforce, I was a consultant at one time and did a lot of travel. And one of the assignments, I was actually stationed in Dallas, Texas for almost 2 years. And so at the beginning of that, I sought out a local club there and was soon just a part of the mix there, playing inter-club tennis with them, playing matches on a regular basis. And so just to kind of tag along to Mary's part of how that social network builds, that was always a great opportunity, no matter where I was and no matter where we went as a family, to go play tennis, meet new people, and really get integrated, if you will, into the social community.
Well, it's funny because I write a lot about tennis as a metaphor for life and, you know, that one of the biggest perks of playing this sport is that it is a sport for a lifetime. And I don't know if you guys have listened to any of our previous shows, but my dad is 75. He played college tennis at Tulane, and he still plays twice a week with one of his Tulane teammates. I mean, these guys have been playing tennis against each other since they were 12 years old. And it's just a phenomenal thing to see them still out on the tennis court competing, playing singles at age 75. You know, it's crazy.
Well, I'll tell you, Lisa, we'll tag on to that a little bit. I'll let Irene tell you briefly about the experience that she and Chaz had this summer. Cleveland was the host for the National Senior Games, which is, after the Olympics, the largest national sporting event, and part of the tennis was hosted at our club. So, Irene, why don't you share what you observed on the court?
Well, Jess and I actually had the great opportunity to be ball runners for some of the finals matches, and one of the matches we helped for was the division of the men's doubles 90-94, and actually a 90-year-old on the court playing down because there was nobody else signed up in his age division. And it was great to see that these guys, even though they were, they couldn't move very well, and their form wasn't always that great, but they just loved to play tennis, and they were so competitive and just really enjoyed being on the court and competing.
Well, let me ask you, Irene, and Chaz, you can chime in too. How does seeing that, you know, experiencing that, being on the court with these folks, how does that impact your love of game and your desire to continue playing?
I think for me it's very motivational because when I work on my tennis game, I'm just not working for the short term. Like my dad will say all the time, you're working on your game for the long term, and it's something you can play for the rest of your life, which I really look forward to even when I'm my parents' age to play in the leagues and stuff.
And what about you, Chaz?
Yeah, it was really fun, and it's really inspiring to see these guys playing tennis at such an age. It was a lot of fun and cool to see them.
Did you get to hit with any of them?
Unfortunately, we did not get to do that, but pretty fun to be running around.
But they had some good advice for the kids. Afterwards, the one man said, when you finish playing tennis, your brain should be as tired as your body is.
Oh, I like that. That's excellent. So let's talk a little bit about how you guys got your kids involved in the sport. You know, you guys obviously were already pretty heavily invested by the time the kids came along. What motivated you to get them out on the court, or what motivated them to want to be on the court?
Well, yes, I think that was just a natural progression, if you will. For me, as Mary said, this sport has been a part of my life since I was about 10 years old, and has given me so much. And through the relationships, and I think you mentioned it's a metaphor for life in a lot of different ways, and I grew up with this game, and I think I took how to deal with a lot of different situations, how to act socially and so forth. So I think there's so many great things that you learn from this sport, not only from a sports perspective, but also that can translate very easily into your life. And so as the kids were getting older, and I said, boy, what a great, as you mentioned, a lifetime sport. It's Mary and I look at it truly as a gift that we're giving Irene and Chaz that they can take with them throughout their life. And it'll not only really obviously get much from it, but I think as with a lot of things, the more you give to it, so much you get back. And we really do believe in that. And so it was not a tough thing when they got to be 3 and 4 years old. We were in the basement and hitting balloons with our hands and just, kind of exercise. And certainly that was part of it. So it was just, let's get some exercise going here that's fun. And then from the balloons hitting with the hand, we got the little short rackets and little foam balls. And I think as parents, Mary and I really looked to make it fun. And so we hit a lot of balls in the basement. We went out to the court and, just play around out there and made it as fun as possible. Well, again, trying to learn some things, and so they've both of them turned into some very nice junior players at this point.
That's fantastic. It's really interesting because there's a lot of talk in the United States right now about how we're hurting for champions at the top of the game and how our juniors just aren't coming along fast enough to be competitive internationally, and how the industry as a whole is having trouble. And one of the arguments that I hear over and over again is that if the parents aren't playing, it's going to be very difficult to get the kids involved, that a lot of times the kids are introduced to the sport by virtue of hanging out at the courts while mom and dad are playing their league matches or their tournament matches. And it seems to me that you guys are the embodiment of that exact concept.
I would definitely agree with that, Lisa. I would also say that it's not that tennis was their only sport. They both played basketball. They both participated in the swim team at our club. But what we continue to come back to on the tennis is, number one, the lifetime sport, and then that it can be a family sport in a way that a lot of other sports really, really don't lend themselves to. And so a way of, instead of just dropping our kids off somewhere and leaving, we can actually participate with them, we can be on the court next to them, and now, the four of us can play together. I mean, that's been a real gift for all of us.
So have you guys taken a tennis vacation yet?
Oh, yes.
We've had a number of tennis vacations as a family, and when possible, when we do travel, we were down in Mexico this spring, took our rackets, and so we were able to play for the first time internationally, if you will, which is pretty fun.
That's awesome.
The classic tennis vacation, we've visited Saddlebrook down in Tampa on a number of occasions and love that facility, love the instructors there, and Howard Moore, who runs that program, we think is just a wonderful individual and concerned about the program and how the kids are doing. So we've done that as well and really found that beneficial. But I was going to say, as Mary mentioned, we have purposely tried to do things as a family. There's a number of things we do that way, and are a faith-based family, and we look to build each other up, if you will, spend time with each other, and tennis is one of those avenues that we get to do things together, support each other, and be a family, as Mary said, not just drop somebody off and we'll come get you at 2 o'clock or whenever the clinic's over.
Right. Right. Well, Chaz and Irene, let me ask you, how much of your social life revolves around your tennis?
I think it's a great way to meet new friends. Like my mom said, if you move to a new area and you don't really know a lot of people, most of the advice, the columns or what have you read, suggest joining a group. And I think joining a tennis clinic is a great way to meet friends, and I've met a lot of nice people through tennis that I can even do things with outside of tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the things that I've definitely learned from you that is I'm friends with a lot of those people off the court, but then when you're on the court, you're not friends anymore. When you're playing tournaments, you compete against each other. And I think it's a really interesting aspect that you have to keep your almost game face on when you're competing and still be a gentleman and compliment your opponent after the match is over.
So have you had problems with that with your friends where, like, it gets dicey when you're on the court against each other and then you come off the court and you're like, uh-oh.
I don't think that's really ever happened to me. I think it's pretty much been smoothly competing and then friends again.
Lisa, one of the things, just to maybe, I guess, brag about Irene, and when it comes to the competitive nature, just this year, our local, the Northeast Ohio Tennis Association, just awarded a week or two ago, Irene, the 2013 Junior Female Sportsmanship of the Year Award. And
wow.
So when you ask her, has it been difficult for her to compete and have those friends? Obviously, as a parent, it's easy for me to say, but I think it demonstrates she has made a nice balance to be on the court, be competitive, and do it in a, she used the word gentleman, but a ladylike fashion. But yet off the court, I think she's made some great friendships. But I think you also asked about how much of the social life revolves around tennis. I would tell you, to some degree, it does. But I think Irene and Chaz would comment, I think they have many other friends, probably just as many outside of tennis as well as on the court.
That's fantastic. So having two kids that are involved in junior tennis, I just have the one, and I know how time-consuming it is, just managing tournament schedules and travel and trying to balance schoolwork with all of that. Talk about the challenges of having two kids so close in age. And I guess they're in two different age groups right now, so every other year I guess you have them in the same age group, so maybe that helps a little bit. But when they're competing in two different age groups, that's got to get tricky.
Lisa, that has, as the years have progressed, that has gotten to be more of an issue, and the age group has gotten to be more of an issue, too. We love to find the tournaments where we can take them both, where they have boys and girls. It used to be both boys and girls, 12s and 14s. They're playing up a little bit now, but when we can have them at the same tournament, obviously that makes it so much easier. But Chuck and I have also had many weekends where the text messages are flying back and forth because he's with Irene at one tournament and I'm with Chaz at another, you know, with the updates on the scores. And that can be a little nerve-wracking, although we can talk about that further, too, about how as parents, you know, how involved do you become in living and dying by the score out there on the court. But it does take a bit of time. Now, I will interject here that we do our school at home. We are homeschoolers through a virtual school here in Ohio. So we have more flexibility than the average family would in terms of, especially in terms of practice time. Obviously, mm-hmm. the tournament time, you know, still consume most of your weekend. But during the week, we're very fortunate that we have a little more flexibility.
And are you homeschooling because of tennis, or were you doing that anyway?
You know, tennis was not a factor in that decision. Chuck and I were both a little bit older, shall we say, when we had our children. And, you know, he and I are both playing senior leagues now, so.
I know the feeling.
It was the idea of, again, you know, being so grateful, thankful to God that we did have children come into the picture, and we weren't in a big hurry to shuffle them off for such a good part of the day, and it started out as maybe a, well, let's do this for kindergarten or maybe first grade, and then the benefits were huge. Now Irene is, I'll let her speak to that, she is looking to go to high school largely to be able to participate in a high school girls' tennis team. But the tennis has fallen nicely into our homeschooling plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, Irene, tell me about that, about what you're thinking in terms of going into a quote, regular school for high school.
I really enjoy, like my mom said, homeschooling and having the flexible practice time. But I also really liked, when I played on a junior tennis team, the aspect of playing team tennis. And it's really different from regular tennis because you're not competing for just yourself. You're competing for a team. And I kind of wanted to get that experience with a high school team and also just to experience a classroom. Like when I go to college to play tennis, I want to have the experience of a classroom.
Mm-hmm. And so what are you expecting in terms of how it's going to impact your practices and your tournament schedule and things, or have you not kind of gotten there yet?
I haven't thought about it too much, but I do think it'll be a little more hectic if I have set full-time and then just practicing after school and high school matches as well as tournaments in the off-season. But I am kind of looking forward to it.
And I think Chaz also enjoyed the junior team tennis experience this summer. Go ahead.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. And even though you are playing the game, it's a lot different because I can look several courts down and see my teammates playing or playing together for the one purpose. And it was just a lot of fun.
So do you think you'll go to regular high school as well, Chaz?
Probably.
It's a little early.
Lisa, I think that was an important experience that Irene and Chaz enjoyed this summer was participating in junior team tennis. I don't know if that's something that you have there in the South, but
yeah, we do.
And they both commented on how different it, quote, feels to be out on the court, you know, because, obviously because tennis is such an individual sport, and as, you know, for a child at that age, I mean, you can feel pretty alone out there, I think. And they really enjoyed having that additional experience of saying, okay, then there's times where I can play as part of a team, and how that's a different experience.
Right. Right. Do you find that where you guys are that a lot of the tournament players are also playing junior team tennis?
I think, yes, there's a lot of Chaz and I's friends that we got together. We have a cup team here that, unfortunately, I haven't been on yet, but I've heard some of our friends talk about, and we were actually able to go to sectionals with our junior team tennis team, which was a lot of fun.
Very cool. Very cool. So for both of you, it sounds like college tennis is on your list of where you're heading. Is that, am I assuming correctly?
Oh, yes, very much so.
And
I think we definitely want to follow in the footsteps of our father and looking for the college scholarship, too, and maybe even looking at my dream is to go to the pro tour after college as kind of a stepping stone.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I think it's a great goal, and I hope that college tennis continues to get the support that it needs to continue thriving here. We're seeing a lot of college programs getting cut, and I will tell you, Irene, you are in a much better position than your brother in terms of scholarship situation. So that's count yourself lucky. As y'all probably already know, there are 8 scholarships on the women's side at Division I schools and only 4.5 on the men's side. So it's a lot tougher for the guys to get the scholarships.
That's interesting. You know, Lisa, the other neat thing that the kids experienced, this was 2 summers ago, Cleveland hosted a USTA
ITF
event here. It was a ladies' $10,000 open, and actually they volunteered as ball runners for that also, and Irene, they were both, I think, on the court with Madison Keys. This was before anybody was familiar with her name, really, but what was neat was we got to be, you could be up close and personal with these girls that, or young ladies, I should say, that are trying to make it on the tour. One young lady in particular, Elizabeth Lumpkin, we got to be quite friendly with, and she hit some balls with the kids. So she went to college, graduated from college, and now was, you know, trying to make the rounds on the pro tour. And I think that really gave both of them a good look at, you know, what the next steps could be in tennis. You know, you don't go right to being the person who's on TV. You know, you slug it out in these little futures tournaments.
Right. There's been a lot written lately about what it takes to make it as a professional player and how challenging can be, and I had the opportunity recently to interview a young man who's from Ireland who's trying to make it on the pro tour, and it's crazy out there for these young players. Well, he's 26, he's not that young, but
right.
Also went to college, and you know, it's a tough road, and I think all these kids who aspire to reach that, you know, we have to give them a lot of support and a lot of kudos for being brave enough to pursue something like that.
Oh, I think absolutely. And I think the other issue that translates back to parents with juniors now is how you balance that, quote, pressure. And Chuck will have probably a different thought process on this, but since I did not grow up playing competitively, I think I see it a little bit differently, and I don't want the kids to feel every weekend when they're out there on a tournament that somehow their future, in quotes, depends on this, you know, to have that pressure of, oh, my gosh, am I going to get a college scholarship? Oh, my gosh, am I going to, you know, you don't want to take the fun out of the game.
It's tough, and I would love for Chuck and Mary, for the two of you, to talk about how your approach differs just based on your experience growing up in the game, Chuck, versus you coming at it as an adult, Mary?
Sure. My experience, Lisa, in growing up, I would tell you, very supportive. My father, obviously, in the tennis. My mother did not play, but hugely supportive there. But they, when I say supportive, I think that was the way they were. I was never really pushed into the game. I think they provided the appropriate level of encouragement, if you will, and sometimes to, you know, hey, let's step it up here and make sure we're getting the practices in. But I never felt the pressure of the win or vice versa, you know, kind of the almost punishment that some people see when there's a loss, and maybe a loss that you shouldn't have had. And so tried to really work those kind of concepts with Irene and Chaz, is to say, you know, we're not, you know, so much outcome-based right now. It's not what you're doing today, the win, whether it's a particular tournament or even in a practice match, but what are you working on? You know, is your performance as it relates to your skill level, your fitness, and mental, are you practicing those things now? Because that's really, as a junior and especially at their age right now, now is the time to develop those things. And as I continue to hopefully mentor them, if we're working on the right things today, the outcomes will come later at the appropriate time. And so that's really my coaching philosophy when I'm working with the kids today, is let's do those things, the foundational things today, and we get those things right, and then all things happen, you know, the good things will happen later on.
And Mary, what about you?
Well, I think in terms of almost weekend to weekend with the tournament, maybe my heart is more on my sleeve sometimes for the kids, you know, when they feel anxious or they feel nervous, or especially, you know, if there is a loss and they feel like they disappointed us. I mean, you really have to let it be their game. I have a hard time, again, because I did not compete. I think I made the mistake early on with Irene of saying after she lost, saying, well, it doesn't matter. And I meant that to be reassuring, you know, because from my perspective, obviously, you know, lifetime perspective, is this one tournament going to matter? But obviously it was a huge issue for her. So, you know, so as a parent, I think to find the balance where you support them and encourage them, but let it be their game. Go ahead and jump in, Katie.
I think that's definitely an important aspect, and I learned that lesson actually kind of the hard way when I was playing in a 14s tournament. And I had started to beat this girl, and I won the first set, and I was up in the second and actually had match point to win it, but then started choking and ended up losing that set. And then I had a little coaching break before we were playing a tie break, and my dad talked to me a little bit and told me, you know, you have to get your act together here. You're kind of losing it a little bit. And that kind of, when I got back on the court, I reacted a little too anxiously, and that's my tendency, is to get too cautious. And I just did not play the way I should have been playing, and because I was just concerned about what my dad would think if I kept playing a way I knew I should not. And finally, I realized that I should not be playing for him, and I should not be playing for my brother or my mother, but my game, I should take pleasure out of my game and my performance, and I should not be playing for anybody else.
That's a really mature attitude, I got to tell you, and I feel your pain about the choking thing. That happens to me all the time. But, I mean, that's really a mature attitude for a 13-year-old to have. And I think, you know, one of the hardest aspects for us as parents is to make sure we are separate from our children's tennis. And for us to communicate to our children that our love isn't conditional on their performance on the tennis court every day, you know, that we love them either way, whatever the outcome. What we hope and expect is that they'll give their best effort each time they step on the court, whatever that is on a given day. But I think where, and I won't speak for you guys, but for me personally, the hardest thing for me to see is when my kid isn't giving 100%. And, you know, when it's obvious that the 100% isn't there. And that's when I get disappointed. I, you know, whether he wins or loses is irrelevant to me. I'm like you, Mary, and I understand the significance of the loss to him. But, you know, when you put it in the perspective of a lifetime on the tennis court, one match is pretty irrelevant.
Well, that's right, Lisa. And I think you hit on one of the aspects that we do request of both Irene and Chaz is the effort in that, you know, when you do step on the court, that's what it is about. It's getting out there and playing your best for that moment. And that doesn't mean playing the best you've ever played, but, you know, giving it your all as best you can for that particular moment. And if you get beat that day, at least you left it on the court and you gave it your all. And we really do focus on that as players. And I think that also, we had a little bit of a discussion earlier on the lifetime. Obviously, that translates very well into your career, whether that's going to be on a tennis court or whether you're in the office or interviewing people. You want to be giving it, you know, the best you can at that moment. And that's what we really do also focus on when they're playing tournaments.
That sounds great. Well, I want to shift gears with y'all for a minute, and let's talk about this award you just won, because it's kind of cool. I mean, Family of the Year is, I mean, that's impressive for your section. And I wanted to ask you, Chuck and Mary, about the kind of culture you've established in your family about giving back to the sport, because in reading your application for this award, it's very clear to me that all of you are very involved in giving back to tennis and giving back to your communities. And I want to just hear from y'all where that comes from and the lessons that you've learned and that you're hoping to pass along to Chaz and Irene.
Well, thanks, Lisa. This, we were obviously surprised and very honored. We were nominated by a gal at our club, the tennis manager, and she told me she was going to send our name in, and I kind of laughed because, honestly, I said that I'm sure there's thousands of other tennis families that do a lot more than we do. So she sent the application this summer, and I never really thought about it. I actually never told Chuck that she had even submitted our names. And then Chuck was at a conference and got a phone call from the USGA Midwest section saying, congratulations. What the heck are you talking about? So then I had to fill him in on the fact that we had been nominated, and we were, you know, obviously thrilled to receive it. I think the giving back idea is, we have intentionally made that a very important focus of our family, not just in tennis, but in your life in general. I mean, Chuck mentioned, we have a strong Christian faith. We, you know, believe in giving back, you know, and we are very blessed in so many ways, and we need to use our blessings to bless others. And we have talked to Irene and Chaz about the fact that tennis can be a way for them to demonstrate their faith, and then also, you know, that they do have a lot of blessings, and they can give back. So we're always looking for opportunities. For example, when this tournament came to town, and when the National Senior Game came, you know, we don't see it just as, oh, we get to see some fun tennis. It's like, wow, what can we do? What can we do to help? How can we make this even a better
event, you know, with the junior team tennis, how can I help organize that? How can I, you know, people may not always come and seek you out, but I think tennis has lots and lots of opportunities. Even, and I will say, even to the point at the club, when there was an adult tournament, Irene and Chaz would volunteer to sweep the court, you know, the clay courts in between, just to kind of be there, be a part of it, help out.
But I think, Mary, it's also, you know, due to the homeschooling and so forth, we've had an opportunity to do volunteer and give back outside of just tennis, though, and maybe you might talk about these mobile meals and so forth. It was a great opportunity to not only obviously provide, not provide the meals, but deliver them, but also to let Chaz and Irene assist in that, right?
Right. So we try to do, you know, charitable works, I guess, as a family, and include the kids in that, and then say, you know, you can have this fun sport, and it doesn't have to be completely separate from that part of your life. You know, tennis can be an avenue for all kinds of wonderful things and ways to help people. You know, and you donate your old rackets to the inner city kids' tennis, all that kind of stuff, and make them aware of that.
That's fantastic. And, Chaz, talk about something that you've done in terms of giving back to tennis that's really kind of stuck with you, that it had such an impact on you that it stuck with you.
Yeah, like my mom said, I mean, you know, sweeping the courts, ball running, and it is really, for me, it's basically just because it's such a fun sport and I'm getting a lot out of it that, you know, sometimes you're feeling like, what can I do to send something back and make it better for some kids who are just starting? You know, like, hit with some kids who maybe you might not improve yourself, but you can improve another person and help them on their way in the world tennis.
That's awesome. And Irene, what about you?
I think my answer would just be kind of the same as Chaz, that, like you said, you may hit with someone that if you were playing in the tournament, you would beat them, but you want to help to give them skills just the way when you're developing, you want somebody who's better than you to hit with you, so then you can get better. And even at our club, they have younger kids for little kids, or clinics for little children, and you can volunteer to help coach them and give them a little bit of insight into your experience and encourage them to keep playing and stick with it, because it will definitely bless you richly.
That's great. I love your enthusiasm. Both of y'all just, I mean, it's so obvious to me how much you love the sport and love the game, and I hope that stays with you. I think that, you know, as I told y'all, my son's 17 now and kind of nearing the end of his junior tennis, and there have been times where I have to say he hasn't loved it. And it's sad, you know. It's sad to watch your child go through those periods where this thing that they've devoted so much time and energy to and they've sacrificed so much to be a part of ceases to bring them joy and excitement. And the challenge, I think, as a parent is finding ways to keep that joy alive. And it sounds like you guys have done a phenomenal job at that. So I congratulate you for that, because like I said, we've gone through periods around here where the joy is just not there.
Well, that's a tough, thank you, Lisa, for that compliment, but it's a tough thing. You know, we, for example, Chuck and I read Andre Agassi's book, and you say, okay, here is somebody that, you know, made it to number one in the world, and yet he describes hating the sport, hating playing, you know, at times hating his father for making him practice, and yet you look at what he achieved, and so then you say, okay, you know, do I want my kids to achieve? Do I need to, you know, push them so hard, push them past the point where they hate it and keep pushing, you know, because we want to get to a certain achievement level, or, you know, do you say, well, it's always just going to be fun and whatever you do is okay? You know, it's like, well, no, because we do have certain expectations of you. So I think, you know, for all tennis parents, and we talk about it with other parents, to kind of find the right balance where it is fun and they do love it, but it is, you know, you are making a commitment to it. And I think in parenting in general, I believe that kids will rise to your expectations if you're clear about what, you know, what you do expect from them. And we, you know, intentionally focus more on, you know, their character when they're on the court. And as Chuck said before, the, you know, the wins will come if you do the right things.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right.
It's interesting. I just recently researched and wrote an article on what is success in tennis. You know, what does that mean? And it was very interesting talking to different people and hearing their definition of the word success. And, you know, sometimes people will tell you one thing, but their actions actually reveal something very different. And so that was kind of an eye-opening experience to me, to talk to various coaches, to talk to parents, to talk to former junior champions about what success looks like in tennis now. And, you know, is it defined by your ranking? Is it defined by which college you go to? Is it defined by, you know, whether you have success professionally at the sport? As a coach, is it defined by how many of your students achieve a certain ranking or you know, go to the top D1 schools? I mean, so I think as parents, a lot of us struggle with balancing that whole idea of, you know, we're committing and we're investing in this development through the sport, but at the same time, the character of our children is really what's going to be left at the end of the day, and what do we want to see there?
Lisa, I think that is really what it comes down to, I think, hopefully for most, and certainly for our family, is the development of our children and what kind of character they have as a young lady and a young man growing up, and if they're blessed to be able to play this sport on a, you know, pretty high level, that's fantastic, and if they're not, then, you know, they go out into the world in a different way, a different avenue, and what kind of character, integrity, you know, trust, those types of values that we really do believe they need to and should carry with them. And as Mary said, do set those expectations that's what we're going to expect from them. So maybe Irene and Chaz, we've talked a lot about, or not a lot, but some with Irene and Chaz on success. Maybe they could give you their insight first, Chaz.
Yeah, I really think that if for success, it's really your actions and what you do, you know, your character, how you play, and those things like the scholarship, the going to top five in the world. Those, if you can play and just proud of what you can do and you have good character, then I think that the quote big success can be just great, really.
And I think that success is really defined by yourself, because I think it's really important to have goals in life, because you don't have an idea of where you're going. You really are just kind of wandering aimlessly. But you also, you have to love yourself for what you do and not beat yourself down if you lose. And true success is learning as much as you can and pushing yourself to as far as you can go and using your talent to the utmost. And if you can't really achieve all your dreams, you still have to be okay with that and just enjoy the experience and enjoy the journey.
You guys are blowing me away, I have to tell you.
There's a lot of
experiences in those few years in that room, I have to say.
I won't tell you how much we're paying them for this interview.
Excuse me. Just a cough. Well, so let's talk a little bit about what happens when you have a tough match and the outcome isn't in your favor. How do you pick yourself up and get back out there the next day or maybe even later that same day if you're moving into the back draw and do it all over again? What do you tell yourself to get yourself back out there?
Well, just like with the success, if I play a really good match but someone's better than me and they beat me, I will try to kind of get into like how I played and what was good with what I did and so on and so forth.
And I
think in the tournament aspect that if you lose and you're playing again the same day, you really have to let go of your losses. And like Chad said, analyzing what you did wrong is really important, but when you're playing it again, you'll really have to forgive yourself and forget about it and get ready to try again the next time. One of our favorite coaches has told us that losing can really motivate you more than winning, and I think that's really true. Because there have been a lot of tough matches that I lost, and the next day I was even more motivated to do my fitness and get back on the practice court because, like Victoria Azarenka, I've heard her say a couple times, you know, if it was easy, everyone would do it. And if it's easy, it really wouldn't be as much fun. You have to learn from the losses, and the hard stuff is what makes, when you get it right, the hard stuff that you went through to get there really makes victory taste sweeter.
Definitely. Absolutely, absolutely. And so, Mary, what are you learning from your kids?
Obviously, I learn a lot from them. I will say I am learning about competition, which I really did not experience, especially growing up. And even now, playing in the adult league, you know, I want to win when I go out there, but it's more about, you know, we play the match and then you have your social time afterwards. I don't kind of live and die by my wins and losses. So it is hard sometimes to relate to kids that are more competitive than I am. And I have on occasion said to Irene, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to reassure you or, you know, how do we look at this match that was a loss, because it's not something I went through. So, on the one hand, that's maybe good that Chuck is definitely more of the coach, parent, and I'm more kind of the support and that really, that sense that it really is okay no matter how it comes out.
And Chuck, what about you? What are you learning from the kids?
You know, it's, I think as Irene said, you know, what a great journey it is, as you see them develop. And I think the other thing I've learned coming along is the, I've tried to do this as we experience more matches and so forth, is that it is about Irene and Chaz's game and what they're doing today. And it's not about, you know, my past performance, and they are not a reflection of my coaching experience or my being their father or anything else. It's about them getting on the court and doing their own thing. And it's not about so much what I want for them, but what they want to get out of the game and what they're doing for themselves rather than for me. And we've discussed that a couple times. I think early on, Lisa, was, I think Irene mentioned it in the one match, she said, you know, I didn't want to disappoint my father or Chaz similarly. And after one or two of those, I said, you know what, we need to, you know, really sit down and talk about it, because this is not about, you know, about me as an ex-player or coach or anything else, but it's about Irene and Chaz. It's about their effort
you know, what they put into the game and so forth. So those are some of the things, I guess, that have really come home to me as we made this, or at least started the journey. You know, they're still relatively young, and hopefully we've got a little bit of time to go here and have some fun getting after the game.
So, Chuck, given that you did grow up in the game, is there anything that your parents did really well or didn't do really well that you've learned from and have translated into your tennis parenting?
Yeah, Lisa, I think as far as doing really well, I mentioned earlier how supportive they were. I grew up in a very close-knit, very loving family. And very supportive, therefore. And so that is one of the things that Mary and I really want to foster with our family here, and we hope that comes through. The one thing I would say that I look back and said, you know, my parents probably could have pushed me along a little bit harder at times to, you know, whether it was the working out or, you know, whatever those things were to push the game a little further, and that, I know, is a tough balance, and I don't know if you ever exactly get it right, and certainly there's no formula, because, as you know, every child is different and reacts differently to the motivation, and you have to have different motivation techniques for both, and so that is certainly not a science, but an art, and that, I guess, one of the other things I learned, but we're, you know, as a coach parent, trying to balance the motivation and pressure with, hey, is this in the end, it's a game and it's got to be fun, or it becomes something that you're not going to want to get on the court and do.
True. Very, very true. All right, we just got a couple minutes left. So, Chaz and Irene, I want to ask you, if you could give a piece of advice to the tennis parents out there of junior players, what would that be?
I think as far as young junior players, like my dad just said, you've got to keep it fun because it's a game, and if it's not fun, there's really no point in it. And you have to both their encouragement and kind of their push because, like my mom said, I think I'm even proof of it, that children will rise to their parents' expectations, and it has to be fun, but also it can be work. And what I find most fun is when I'm working hard and I know I'm working towards my goals.
Pretty much the same with me. It does have to be fun. I mean, like, I don't know. Okay. Can't find a lot to say.
Well, I want to thank you guys for taking time to speak with us today, and I want to congratulate all four of you on your award, Family of the Year. I think that is just fantastic. And Chuck and Mary, I want to congratulate you doing with these two young people. They seem to really have their head on straight and things in perspective. And Chaz and Irene, I wish you all continued success and the best of luck in whatever it is you choose to pursue, whether it continues to be tennis or whether you develop other interests along the way as well. And if today is any indication, you guys are going to go very far in whatever it is. I want to thank you for chatting with us.
Thanks, Lisa. It was fun. We'll enjoy looking for more fun shows on your station.
Well, good. Good. We've done some good ones. So I've had some very interesting people on the air and gotten some very good advice along the way. So I love getting to share that. All right. Well, thanks again for being with us. To my listeners, I hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll talk to you next week on Parenting Aces. This is Lisa Stone signing off.